May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. While I studied in Oxford one summer, I got to visit the place where Lewis Carroll lived, where he walked and where he wrote. Those of you that are familiar with Lewis Carroll know that he was really quite an eccentric individual. Lots of stories surround his life. Remember these words from Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here? That depends a good deal on where you want to go, said the cat. I don't much care where, said Alice. Then it doesn't matter which way you go, said the cat. So long as I get somewhere, Alice added as an explanation. Oh, you're sure to do that, said the cat. If you only walk long enough. Has this ever sounded like your life? Has this been a dilemma in your Christian faith and walk with God? Sometimes not sure where you're headed, knowing you're supposed to be going somewhere, but not sure. But we have to keep walking. The tendency for most of us is to make it to a certain point and get tired. Or get distracted, or get discouraged, or even get scared, anxious, and give up. Certainly, this is no truer than within our lives of faith. Our Christian faith and our willingness to follow Jesus Christ. Following Christ's resurrection, the apostles and the disciples knew that they could not let up. They now were faced with having to fully commit themselves to the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The one who said, I am the good shepherd. The one who said, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate for the sheep. God wants you to have a destination. When you are clear about your destination, then you lead yourself instead of allowing other people, situations, institutions, the latest fad, or events lead you. The culture puts enormous pressure upon us to be successful and tells us what that success should look like. We know that if you do not define your own success, what success means to you, others will define it for you. And our success as Christians must first and foremost be defined by the intentional giving of ourselves to the one who said, I am the good shepherd, I am the gate. As we prayed in this morning's collect, which gives us the theme for the readings of the day, I said the words, O God, whose Son Jesus is the good shepherd of your people, grant that when we hear his voice, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Follow where he leads. Following the resurrection, we have been hearing that the apostles were on fire with the Holy Spirit. They were acting in passionate ways. We heard in today's reading from Acts that those who had been baptized now devoted themselves to prayer, to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of the bread. And we even read that awe came upon everyone. They were filled with awe because many wonders and events were being done by the apostles. The question that God wants us to ask ourselves is, when do you feel most on purpose? When do you feel most on purpose? Another way of asking this question is, when do you feel truly inspired? Inspired, in spirit. When do your thoughts change and you feel that there are limitless possibilities? That gets harder to do as we get older, doesn't it? Believing in limitless possibilities. This past week, on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I was with our bishop and 17 other clergy in southeastern Kentucky to do mission work. And we were doing different projects in Harlan, in Middlesboro, and also in Corbin. What was amazing to me the first afternoon that we gathered was I looked around at the clergy group, and two things struck me. One is that women were in the majority, and the second was that there were these really young priests. Two of the men that were there were probably 30. And I realized for the first time in my ministry, and I've this month will be ordained to the diaconate 29 years this month, and then to the priesthood in December, it'll be 29 years. I used to always be the young guy. Even in the Diocese of Upper South Carolina, while I was there as dean, I was still one of the youngest priests in the diocese. I looked at the other guys and said, oh, those are the older priests. And I knew they were looking at me. I said, don't look at me like that, like some old experienced priest. But what was amazing to me was to really see how energized they were and how passionate they were, because they were just starting. Two of the clergy, two of the men that were priests, were what we call network clergy, and that is, they're freshly ordained priests, and these two happened to be very young, like 30 and maybe 31, and they were in parishes in Middlesboro, the other priest was in another parish in the diocese. And they were just starting out and being, you know, supported by one another in this network group. And I thought, for them, the possibilities must seem limitless. But as we age and as we experience life, we know that that's harder to hold on to. And the only way that they answer to that question can be found is when we submit our lives first to Jesus. The possibilities never end at any age or any event that takes place. About 5 or 6 years ago, when I was up in New York City, I came across in a bookstore for the first time the writings of the great 20th century American poet, African-American Langston Hughes. And I began reading his poetry. And he wrote, "Hold fast to dreams, for if dreams die, life is a broken winged bird that cannot fly." To be inspired is to be in spirit. Our inspiration must come from our listening to the voice of the one who calls us by name, obeying his voice, and following where he leads, going through that gate. And this is challenging for each of us. That is why God did not make the Christian faith a solo journey, but instead gave us the church, the ecclesia, the called out, the community of faith to support one another. God gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift that in just moments Tara will receive in baptism as a little child, as a baby. But she too will be faced, as we're faced, with having to make that choice as she matures in the Christian faith. We must be willing to respond to the one who says, "I am the Good Shepherd." There was a little boy named Timothy that each school morning walked about half a mile to the bus stop with his friend, Johnny. Every night before he went to sleep, his mother or father sat with him as he said his prayers. And they also both taught him the words to the 23rd Psalm, so that the last words he said before closing his eyes were, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Well, one day when walking to school, two little girls that thought these boys were cute ran up behind them, and they started to follow them to the bus, and they started doing that every single day. They came up behind them, and they were bothering the little boys. It started to bother Johnny because they didn't know who they were. And finally, about 3 weeks of this happening every single day, Johnny says to Timothy, "Do you know who these girls are? Do you know who these girls are? Doesn't it bother you that they follow us every day?" And Timothy replies, "Heck no. They're the ones my parents taught me about in my prayers." "What do you mean?" asked Johnny. "My parents said that surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." It's pretty bad, isn't it? Especially because you thought it was a serious story. Well, it is serious, because you must have a destination for your life. Ultimately, you and I seek eternal life in Jesus Christ. But today, the Good Shepherd Jesus calls you by name and asks you now to give your life to him, and he will show you the path. He will hold out the destination. This past Friday, I did the burial service for 98-year-old mother of one of our parishioners. Her name was Carol Kowalki, and she lived a good life. She had a wonderful life, and Will, her son, who's a member of this church, was there. John and Teresa Range were there. It's John's daughter's husband's mom. And at the graveside, as the rain was falling and the winds were gusting, together we said the 23rd Psalm. If you're not teaching your children the 23rd Psalm, teach it to them, or your grandchildren. I've noticed in my years less and less people know that by heart. It is a beautiful psalm to call upon because it reminds us indeed that the Lord is our shepherd, and that goodness and mercy will follow us till the very end and beyond. There is such comfort in those words. It's the promise that when you give your life to God, you will be blessed. You will be blessed with the goodness and mercy of Jesus. And I promise you that God will lead you through the joys and through the challenges of your life. Amen.